live from the five hole, faxes from UncleDale.com's and the Sam Fells, but who's buying weekly newsletters, official weekly podcast. I am Sam Fells of said newsletter. You can find me on Blue Sky at Fells Gate. I'm also your host for this Michigas. I am back from a Dynasty weekend in Vancouver. I'm feeling mostly refreshed and refurbished. My throat's a little sore from yelling at Chris Jericho, but we'll get through it. We are here to wrap up the Hawks season one game early because no one wants to watch a fucking 80-second game of this shit. So we're just going to get a head start on all of this. And then we've got some other stuff we will get to when we're done with that. So, of course, we are in fatal four-way formation with the usual crew. Leading off with Dr. Viral. He is the biggest jackass, no talent in the business. Sorry. And he is the commissioner. What are you, the president, commissioner? How does this work?
CEO.
CEO of WBCW on Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every Monday night at 9 Central. You can find him on Blue Sky at Torque Penderloin. It's Andrew Cieslak.
I'm not a writer, but here's a song idea. Song idea. It all get better.
I'm just going to let you sit on that one for a second. He's working the ones and twos for us tonight. He is our supervising technician and our technical supervisor, and he's Hollywood's go-to grizzled crank. You can find him on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. It's Matt McClure.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth. And last but not least, he is the archivist. He is the goal line assassin. He is the Oracle of Humboldt Park, and he's already decided to get angry about baseball. You cannot find him on Blue Sky at Fifth Feather, but he might find you. He's lurking in the night. He's Fifth Feather, John.
Angry about baseball is your favorite version of me, Sam.
It might be.
I like to play the hits.
Just because, yeah, but like the hits, like where I know all the lyrics.
Yes.
Like I know what about baseball makes you angry, and it just kind of, you know, it's like seeing your favorite band play your favorite song. Like it feels like home.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes, well.
Well, John, I always start this with you, mostly because I don't like Matt or Slack.
Jesus.
So I don't see any reason to change that as we sit here at the end of another Hawks season. And so I'll start with you by asking you this. Was there a point to any of that?
Well, here's what I find funny. We did the show last week, and we talked about the Hawks having 70 points and where they were going to end up, and if it was going to change our opinion of where things were a month ago when they just reached their point total from the year before.
Right.
And
the answer is no.
Yeah, I think the opinion of the season is getting worse by the day. The respectable moonings have ended.
Yeah.
All you're left with now at this point is getting mooned on a nightly basis by teams, by the way, that are
don't care
and are basically either just prepping for the playoffs or have packed it in. Go ahead.
As I get older and the amount of material I've put out into the ether grows and grows after 17 years of doing this, I have to be really careful about reversing myself.
18 seasons.
As I wrote this morning, I have to be careful because I can't sit here and say, well, the ending to last season, the 8 games that turned Sam Renzel into the Calder Trophy winner and Frank Nizar into
Real quick. The Renzel for Calder wasn't just like a beat writer thing. The odds at the beginning of the season, I think he was like third or fourth.
He was like a favorite.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
So we all basically said, yeah, this doesn't, it's fun. It's more entertaining than what it's been, but it probably doesn't matter.
Correct.
So I have a hard time thinking what I'm seeing now or not seeing in the case of this weekend, but reading about matters anymore. But yeah, it feels like it does a little bit.
Because yes, on paper, they're supposed to have a real coach here, and he's got them playing suffer puck also. And they're still getting their asses caved in.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, Sam, this feels much worse and much more indicative of just the hole they're in, as opposed to last year where it felt like where some people tried to say, well, this is them turning the corner. And I think we were all on the page of, well, maybe not so fast, but it is. It was encouraging, right? Like going into Ottawa and winning a game where they had playoff hopes, winning in a shootout in Montreal, again, for a team that was going to the playoffs. I mean, those were, you could say were like, I don't know, you could make an argument that they were flagpole wins or whatever you want to call them. But this is horrible. you know, getting mooned by every team that you're facing, all at home too, by the way. You're closing out the season at home. You can't even make the excuse like they did last year where they were, well, we've been traveling a lot. And, you know, you remember they had to have that closed door meeting. I think it was in LA or something.
It was in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Okay.
Because they got blown out. It was the second to last game of the year before the Montreal-Ottawa swing, I think.
Yes.
Might have been a home game in there.
And
they mailed it in. And so the actual leaders, you couldn't find Foligno with a search party for this. But
that was like Connor Murphy, wasn't it?
Connor Murphy, Ryan Donato, the newly rich Ryan Donato, were like, hey, we're not going to have this bullshit. Then they closed the season well. Well, now they have this bullshit again. Ryan Donato's gotten paid. Murphy isn't here.
Well,
here's another thing I'm star-crossed on. I don't want to reverse myself, but I don't think Jeff Blashill's a very good coach. I don't think he should be the coach of this team, but I understand why this team has to hire anyone who takes the job. So I get when a team is just like, I'm done listening to this jackass. However, this team has not earned the right to tune out any coach. Who are they to say, I'm not playing for this guy? What have they done?
Right.
And they might not have said it, but God, they're showing it.
Right. I mean, they're saying it by how they're playing.
Right.
But where do you go? Why do you think your job is so secure that you can just say,
well,
no?
Frank Nazar, by that logic, is the most important player
right
here.
I mean, he plays
by your logic.
Indeed, Felix.
Anyway, Murakami bomb for John if he needs a quick huff.
Oh, thank you.
They're going to tell me Frank Nazar had a strong finish.
Did he?
They're going to tell me he did.
They're going to have to tell you something, aren't they? They got to get you to buy tickets.
Embarrassing.
So, yeah, I mean, I think a team that is supposed to be this young, or that is this young, it's not supposed to be, it is this young, and they at the trade deadline, they basically say, okay, we are turning the team over to you. They should be playing like they're excited to be in the NHL every night because they're supposed to be excited to be in the NHL every night. This is supposed to be new to all of you. How are you so over it at 21?
Because their coach has got them playing bullshit. He doesn't have them free with, like, the five forwards thing is a fun little toy, but that clearly wore off too.
You're correct, Matt, but they don't have the right. They don't have the right to say it's all the coach's fault.
Yeah, it doesn't add up. Like you can't, like Sam said, all these guys should be psyched and be trying to, you know, show that they're ready and do something cool while they have the chance without the pressure. And it's like they're worse than ever. It's crazy. It's really crazy. Is nuts against teams that are not trying their hardest. So that's the other part.
The only alternative is that they are psyched and they are trying, and this is the best they can do.
God.
So.
Well, we might have to rethink those prospect rankings then.
Right.
I'm blown away at the way this team is covered outside of these four people.
No one watches them, right? Like, John, you pointed out when whoever it was goes running to Duncan Keith because he's in town for his fake locker in the atrium. Mm-hmm. Or whatever they gave him. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, what's he, 20? He's very promising. And you're like, I bet he's watched no more than 5 Hawks games all year. That would be the most he's watched.
5 Zero. Minutes.
No
like,
way.
Like, he knows Levchinov is 20 years old, and he knows he plays for the Hawks, and he knows the fans want to hear that he's going to be fine.
Yeah, he went to Michigan State, too. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
but Duncan Keith lives in Vancouver. I would be surprised if he has the NHL package. Like, why would he watch? He's rich. He doesn't need to do this shit. He's not coaching anybody. He's not an analyst anywhere. He can get on with his life. You know, Scott Wheeler, when he shows up for Chuggo, he's like, look at these prospects. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's so fucking weird he's watched all of these guys play games. Hell, the Hawks' own GM can't watch his own prospects play every game. He's never seen Roman Kitsarov play live. Never.
Never.
But, you know, he's just going by stat sheets and reports, too.
And highlight reels, yeah.
Yeah. So that's fine. I'm not saying the guys we haven't seen yet can play or not play. I don't know. I can tell you I probably don't care. I'm talking about what I watch on a nightly basis. Ryan Green and Oliver Moore and Nick Lardis, who's apparently in the top six next year with his 9 goals.
Why is he already penciled in ink?
And I like Lardis, but you know he hasn't locked down anything.
No.
So if he's like, I don't want to do what this idiot coach. You don't have any right to do that, or you stink. It's one or the other.
And I think
didn't Burakovsky not show up last week, and they benched him.
I mean, he hasn't shown up since November.
Okay, but I'm talking about like physically literally, not appearing for something.
Did he miss a practice?
Isn't that why he got scratched?
I thought he got scratched because he sucked.
Yeah, then he would have been scratched many games ago, Sam, if that was true.
Right. I don't know.
John, you know what I'm talking about?
I think you're right, yes.
So I think the bigger point is that the guy who's making one of the highest – what is he, the highest paid guy on the team?
Second highest? Not the –
Behind whatever, yeah.
Just doesn't show up to practice. Bertoilet and him and Frank are
and Tabo. Yeah.
What's this? What kind of culture is this? Don't make the joke, Matt. I know what you're going to say, but what kind of team culture is this where this guy just doesn't show up to practice? Because what, the season's basically over, or you stink? Like, what's the deal?
Or you're getting bought out, or
whatever it is, you're pouting. That's the team. That's this team, and that. I don't know.
Just like bad vibes. Bad vibes.
I get that he got scratched, but like he still thought it was something he should do.
Right.
Like I'm just not coming. I don't want to. Fuck this.
I mean, I get it. I wouldn't want to either. Wrong. But there's some, you know. But it's your job, you know, brother.
It's true. I would love to say fuck this and not go to my job.
Right, but...
Wouldn't go over well.
Wouldn't go, and it didn't, apparently. Yeah.
I don't know.
Here we go, the same stumble again. I don't even know where to start.
Well, I got another thing for you, buddy.
Please, give me a prompt.
The other thing that's getting brought up quite a bit, and it's just... Apparently it's common sense. Connor Bedard is their star center. He's their star center and he's locked in and he is your face of the team and he is going to lead you to the next levels, which very well is what we thought 3 years ago when he was drafted. But what to this point has led you to believe that?
He wants to win, John. Haven't you read?
Yeah, but you know,
I haven't heard him say that.
No, people say he does.
So then
it must be true,
right? But I'm saying he's your star number one center, and that's just a fact. He is. There's no question as to what about your star number one center that's getting pummeled in possession on a nightly basis
every night,
and can only basically get you a point per game. Like, doesn't go off.
On one of the lowest scoring teams, in the lowest scoring team in the league.
Yeah.
Well, John, you know that I've spent basically the past 4 months, ever since he came back from injury, biting my tongue in the hopes that I won't say Connor Bedard is a loser. But I watch Connor Bedard now, and I see a guy who gives you the highlights, and he'll celebrate with some swag and all that, and that's it. You know, you know what he is so far in his career? He's what everyone thought Trevor Zegras was. Just this kind of rolls, you know, hood ornament?
Hood ornament,
Matt,
yes.
That's your term? Hood ornament scores all over SportsCenter, RE in Canada, because that's where he'd be over. No one here cares. You know, he'll be all over that. He'll do his thing. He'll play to the crowd. He'll talk shit to a guy in Utah. Because that's awesome. You know, maybe score a breakaway here or there. Rack up some points. and none of it means shit.
I mean, but not was, even a high amount of points, Sam.
Not even that many points. This was the generational can't miss, the next McDavid, the next McKinnon, next Matthews. This guy's going to turn your franchise around. He's been here 3 years, and the Hawks have never finished above 31st.
Okay, take all that out of the picture. Like, since he came back, what game has he taken over or won basically on his own?
Yeah, and I'm Sam's I don't want to hear it when it comes to his injury, too. I mean, we're, what, 4 or 5 months removed from it now at this point. You could have had one or two games that you kind of took over at some point.
Well, you know the story is going to come out that he was hampered all.
I mean,
absolutely.
That's already written. They're just waiting to hit print.
Absolutely.
I think the point I made in the thread was his last game where he had over 2 points was November 25th. Celebrini gets 3 points every game.
Yeah. It's just not going to work. If these people think that the Hawks are going to be as good as they say they are, where they're going to be playing the Sharks in the conference finals every other year.
Oh, their new rival, yeah.
Yeah.
The new rival. Sharks might not know it, but there you go.
You're not doing it with Connor Bedard putting up 71 points a season. And I don't care if he only played 70 games. It's not enough.
No.
Mario Lemieux had cancer. And he had 140 points in 30 games.
All right, since the trade deadline, they had the back-to-back wins over Utah. And everyone's like, oh, here come the kids, right? Turn the team over to the kids, youthful energy, beat a playoff team twice in a row, once on the road.
Damn Rinzel, what a player.
3-10-3.
He is ass.
He stinks. 3-10-3. They've scored more than 3 goals in a game twice.
I think if I pushed Sam Rinzel, he would just fall. On his feet.
Yeah. And he went to the University of Minnesota. I know they have a weight room there.
What a...
Is it not... Yeah. Are only the football players allowed to use the weight room? Is that how it works?
Yeah, Mason West is in there.
Yeah. I mean,
just wait.
They come Mason home. West. Like, well, we want to show our fans we're ready to play for... We're on the team for next year. We want to get some momentum. 17-6.
What do you think the intermission speeches are like?
Fuck you. That's
hey guys, I gotta go take a shit. I'll see you out there.
They're probably talking about like the cool new weed soda they're gonna get after the game. I don't know what these fucking kids want. They're not going out to the pony. I know that much.
They're just scrolling TikTok wordlessly on their couches.
They're doing that on the bench.
They're looks maxing.
It's so bad. It's so bad. Ugh.
I don't know how you can spin this without coming off as just paid off by Danny in Qdoba.
Well, we're doomers.
But yeah. Danny's going to have to spin this because he's not going to fire anybody.
Who's putting the pressure on Danny to spin anything?
Right. No, I'm saying, yeah. No, go ahead.
John, if you're the GM in New York, Montreal, Boston, Toronto, even Vancouver, fuck. Anywhere where that really cares about hockey and knows about hockey. And 2 years ago, you say, we're done finishing last. We've got to move forward. You then proceed to finish last two more times.
By his own standard, he is fired as hell.
You are so fired.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, what was that? What's that movie with Amy Schumer?
Train wreck,
like when she gets fired, like her boss is like, oh no, you're so fired.
Yeah.
Like that's what would happen in a hockey town that knew its ass from the hole in the ground when your GM says like, we're done finishing last. It's time to move this forward. And then you finish last, not once, but twice.
This is him trying.
It's unclear what kind of move he was trying to do.
This is me trying. He's a fucking Taylor Swift song.
With two different coaches.
Three.
Three.
Three. Three. Sorry. Yes.
I don't get it.
And you're telling everyone you're going to finish last next year.
Every other team just fires the GM like it's not a big deal. Just fire him. Hire a different guy.
Just do it.
That's all you got to do.
He can't be making that much money.
Like, no. The other thing, I mentioned this today as well, is like, if you're not going to fire him, then somebody better get some idiots in here who know how to develop people, for Christ's sake. Because this is, you draft guys and you turn them into Dominic Tornado or whatever.
Hey, he's earned it. He needs to get a couple days worth of
NHL he played
paycheck.
Over Boisvert, right? Because that's what you got to do at this this time of year.
Yeah, well, Boisvert stinks, so that's fine.
Yeah, great. That's great. He's one of every other prospect.
Throw a 32-year-old a fucking bone.
Every other prospect who is yet to play is worse than him. So what's this list? These people all stink. These
a bunch of they have a ton of tier three guys.
They have a bunch of fifth liners. They have a bunch of like Dylan Sakuras.
They have
cares?
More tier three prospects than any other team. Great.
Great.
Yeah, tier three is AHL checking line.
Meanwhile,
maybe,
the Sharks.
Maybe if they all max out, they could be the Kings.
Yeah, the Sharks have the best forward prospect, the best defensive prospect, and the best goaler prospect.
But the Hawks have the better pipeline.
Yeah. Tell me which one I would rather
have. Pipeline? That's not. Yeah. Pipeline's not even a real thing.
It's not. Not for hockey. It's this is a bunch of baseball crap that's getting thrown into hockey because the Cubs won in 2016 because they had the best pipeline. And now they think that the Hawks are going to have the same thing. These same people.
They also paid John Lester like $180 million.
Right.
And Jason Hayward.
And Ben Zobrist.
And they made trades.
Ben Zobrist and Jason Hayward. And they found Jake Arrieta by accident.
Yeah. By making a trade. By making a trade for a professional ball player.
Right.
What a concept. They traded a professional for another professional. And it worked. Because they tried.
I mean, I read the stuff everywhere. Like, and you know, at this point, I don't think hockey's any different. And I guess all sports journalism has become this when you're not, you know, actively blowing a coach. Where whatever you're putting out there, that's what the team wants out there. So when I read, oh, the Hawks are really looking to acquire a top six forward, they might trade the draft pick, whatever. That's just what the Hawks want out there. They don't.
Yes.
I don't think they're telling
Fat Frank and all his other cronies.
Yeah, they're not actually going to do any of that.
Well, they're going to say they tried, like they did with Demidov.
Right.
Well, we were close.
We were close. Great. Your team still stinks.
And there's no consequence, so it doesn't matter. Patience.
John.
Oh, go ahead, Sam. I was going to prompt the group, but go ahead.
I mean, we've been through Bedard, and you know, I don't think Bedard's bad, and he's certainly not the biggest problem. When you cast your coaching scouting eye over Frank Nazar,
oof.
What do you see? Because if he's not good, if he's like actively bad, the whole thing is sunk.
Well, I've never, you know, there were outside of a stretch of a few games, stretch a few games last year at the end of the season, there's nothing that Nazar has done that's really impressed me. If you go back again to that magical 8-game stretch that they closed out the season, he was kind of all over the ice on both ends, making things happen, his speed. But to me, all that tells me is that that sort of game is just not sustainable over an 82-game stretch.
Not at his size.
Not exactly. At his size and the size of his line mates, something like, you know, that skill set's just not something that he's not going to be your number two. He's maybe your three or four if you're a really good team. If you're your best player and your second best player are really, really special, then maybe he's somebody that can kind of, you know, not have the main focus and then kind of pop in when there's a good matchup. But otherwise, yeah, I've never been a huge Nazar guy. And,
I thought he looked good to start the season, but if he's not out on an odd man rush, he doesn't do anything.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that was part of his game was that he was creating so many odd man rushes because of his speed. But again, that could have also been that NHL teams hadn't seen him over a course of a long season. And now that everybody's got tape on him, everybody knows what he's doing. He's easier to shut down.
He doesn't seem to create space for himself, and that's even on the rush.
Correct.
Like, he's a good finisher if given a chance, but like if you've got a good gap on him, he can't separate himself. Like, I'll give Bedard that. Like, you can get close to him and his hands are good enough where he can still fashion an angle for a shot or a pass. But Nazar, you know, if he's not scoring on a breakaway or a two on one, he doesn't do anything. And I think the only reason he looks okay on the penalty kill is because he thinks, if I cause a turnover, I'll get a breakaway.
Yes. He's looking for odd man rushes on the penalty kill.
Right. Which is not necessarily a bad thing.
No,
to
it's
have,
not at all. No.
But we look over this Scott Wheeler's, you know, fapping over this prospect list, and I only see one guy I think can stick at center, and it's the one guy they drafted to not be a center.
Antoine Frondelel.
That's like the one thing Blashill did. He's like, well, these two morons can't play center. Let me try him.
You take away another potential line mate for Bedard. There's just nobody to play with him.
Well, they're going to, you know, do the lollipop brigade with him and Kantsarov next year, right?
I don't know, Sam. If he shows up, every article says if he shows up. If
he's watching these games, I'm not sure he's aching to get on the plane.
It's not a slam dunk. Otherwise, they'd say he's definitely signing. Nobody knows. It'd be really funny if he didn't.
Well, I think it's a little, again, and this is another way to reiterate this, but to pin your hopes on turning your scoring and team around on a 21-year-old undersized Russian who's never played in North America, you're not setting him up for success. You're setting him up for failure.
Right.
There has to be some kind of support system beyond fucking Ryan Donato.
Right. Or Ilya Mikheyev giving him an extension.
We'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
they're both Russian. They're both Russian, so he'll take care of him. No, you don't know that.
It's not his job.
No.
I know guys who are from the same city as I am that go to hell. Why would
I
that's
care? Right.
They're from the same country. What's the difference?
Go to hell.
Hey, you're Russian. You like this guy, right? What?
I mean, here's it's going to be the same thing with Ilya Mikheyev, Ryan Donato. They don't want to be here. They want to go play for a real team. They get out on the open market, and they're like, no one's offering anywhere near the money that the Hawks are. And they're just like, well, guess I got to take the money. And then you get a season like you get out of Ryan Donato where he's like, well, this is the biggest contract I'm ever going to get. It's the longest contract I'm ever going to get. Why do I have to keep working as hard? You don't?
This is it for
can
you.
Can we effort Ryan Donato's traditional stat line for the season? Is that too much right now?
I got it.
15 goals, 14 assists, 47 share.
I mean, on this team, that's pretty good.
You had to resign this guy. You had to have him.
Could not let him go.
Literally less than half of his output from last year.
Less than half.
In more games. He had 31 and 31 last year in only 80 games. He's got 29 points in 81 games this year.
I know
that everyone else who covers this team has to maintain some air of positivity to keep people reading and watching.
They don't come to you for that.
Something we don't care about at all.
I mean, maybe I should. I mean, more than eight people would read my newsletter. Like, I'm being honest here. I don't look for this shit to be negative.
In Ryan Donato's defense, this stat line is far more in line with his career numbers.
This is what he is.
It's almost like it was a contract year and he was trying extra hard.
Matt, I'm looking at him. Would you care to share what his 82 game NHL average is on Hockey Reference?
I'm not looking at Hockey Reference, but I can't.
I got it right here. 18 goals, 19 assists, 37 points. He's right at it.
Well, and that's heavily spiked from last year, too.
Yeah.
He's below it by a lot.
I mean, 15 goals, 18 goals, 29 points, 37 points. It's not that bad.
29 points is...
Well, I mean, I'm not Johnny Sunshine for nothing, but if Danny came out tomorrow and said Kyle was fired, I think our tune would change dramatically. Do we not agree on that?
Who cares?
Yes, it would, because there's something different.
We would all feel way more optimistic about a lot of things. Am I not?
Yeah,
it would mean there's a sense of urgency, and it would mean that everyone on the roster would suddenly be on notice.
It also means that whoever he hires has a mandate. And that's,
yeah,
you're
clean
here to do
up.
Something different. So you have to do something. No more sitting around and just drafting guys.
I mean,
that's not a job. That's default.
That's like minimum requirement.
Set
you
it on
have
auto
to do
draft.
That.
You don't even have to show up to work.
Let the record show, too, that Ilya Mikheyev is 2 years older than Donato was last year. I know that doesn't make sense, but he's older, and he's already gotten that. He already got a 4 year deal at 475. Like, he already got like 18 yeah. million. So he doesn't need this horseshit the way Donato did. If he wants to go play for a real team,
last big contract.
And oh, look
big,
at that! Look at that!
Quote unquote.
It, his best year happened in a contract year. Con men.
I mean, I referenced it, and there's no way to prove this. You know, there's nothing I can, you know, there's nothing tangible about it, but when your GM, who's your boss, keeps coming out and saying, oh, we're not worried about anything until 2029, well, then why is your current roster going to, why are these kids going to care?
Which they clearly don't.
They clearly don't.
Well, and then also when he comes out and says, well, we're not going to finish last, and then they do for two straight seasons, and there's no repercussions, then right. What again, what does that send to everybody? There's no sense of urgency.
Right.
And there's no mandate, right?
No, there's no mandate. That's just the plan. And it's got no specifics, and it's interminable. It will never end.
The point of the plan is the plan.
This is the plan. Well, yeah. What's the plan? We're doing it. This is it. This is what it looks like.
Yeah, it's just bad vibes, bad juice. And again, if you want to hear us be positive about the Hawks, tell Danny to fire Kyle, and our tune will change, I think, pretty quickly.
We'll do an emergency podcast.
We might.
I would.
Like, I would actually be excited for, like, the first time.
You could hire a, like, bottom 20 percentile GM who's got a track record.
A retread. Find a retread, yeah.
A track record of being okay to bad, and it would be better than this.
Jim Benning's not doing anything.
I guarantee you that would be a humongous upgrade. Humongous.
Any fresh pair of eyes, two of them. Don't hire a one-eyed guy. But just any fresh pair of eyes who can come in here and be like, nope, 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 yes, to these prospects and get them upstairs.
Like Madeline Kahn in History of the World Part 1?
Exactly.
They should have gotten Yarmo when they had the chance.
I mean, I would have hated that, but at least it would be a sign of life.
Yeah. We're in a bad spot, man.
We stink. No one wants to watch our stupid channel.
Oh, that's a channel problem. That's just channel-wide.
But if the Hawks were good, people would put up with their stupid channel.
Lord knows they did for a while.
Right.
Anyway. All right, let's get to AFS. That'll make me feel better.
You okay there, John?
Oh, no. I just got an effort on AFS.
Oh, beautiful.
Hopefully Andrew has it pulled up.
I'm going to share a couple thoughts from this thread, which is a good segue here from 3 days ago. A spinorama pass by Tyler Bertuzzi to Ilya Mikheyev, who scores his second goal of the game and 18th of the season. It's also Mikheyev's 200th NHL career point. Now, to be fair, they post every goal. So this is not like the post itself isn't bad. But I'm going to read you some comments.
Before you get that, give me 1 second. I have to. Effort. So that was Mikheyev's 200th point.
Correct.
In 426 games.
Almost half a point. Almost.
This is the guy you can't live without.
At age 31.
You have to resign him. You've got Jay Zawoski putting up fucking Rounders gifs about this guy. He's got 200 points in 426 games.
He's also made over $20 million in his career already.
Yes. He'll be 30. Two.
He's been paid.
And you're out here waving your wang?
He'll be 32 when the season starts.
What is a 32-year-old man whose career high in points is like 45, who kills penalties?
You have to have him?
What do you need him for on a last-place team? to take up a roster spot for one of these awesome kids? Are you kidding? Which one's more important? For how many years do you think he's going to get a contract? One? No. Two or three, probably. He's here for good.
He's got 200.
What are you talking about? It's like putting nuts on your truck, you fucking idiot. It's useless. All right, so these
Ilya Mikheyev has made $23,215,000 as a professional NHLer at this point. I don't think.
Which is the only reason he's even here. Because they needed a guy who sucks and makes a lot of money. And our fan base is so stupid, they think he's good.
Oh, my God.
200 points. Do you know how many goals a guy with his speed would have if he didn't stink? He'd be like a 60-goal scorer. This guy's bad. He's just fast. That's it. It's
paying
insane.
That man his money. I mean,
it's insane how many passes he's gotten going down the middle alone.
But the cap's too high.
Wall. He doesn't even hit the net.
The cap's too high to sign anybody, but you absolutely have to have a 32-year-old stone-handed fast penalty killer.
Sorry. I interrupted your momentum. I guess I just hadn't fathomed the whole picture here.
This conversation's important.
200 points in 420 NHL games, and you've got people with pitchforks and homemade signs outside the United Center. You have to sign this guy.
The construction workers.
The construction workers are back at it.
These are all named Justin Fields dead enders. We want Justin. We want Ilya Mikheyev. All right, so this thread started a little bit of, you know, that weirdness. I'm gonna the first comment, which this is so good. Bertuzzi has been such a great player since he came to the Hawks. Love watching him play every night. I just wanted to read that for Matt.
Shoot
this man in the head.
The most upvoted comment is from Llama Puncher, and he says, if we don't re-sign Mikheyev, I will go lay down in the middle of Lower Wacker and just accept my fate. That's the kind
I'll run you over.
Here's the reply. So this is where this stems into a whole thing. Exact condition replies, they tried and he turned down the offer. He'll see what's out there. Maybe he realizes the Hawks will give him the most ice time and the biggest role. He would be great for Roman. And there's that again.
Reigns.
Roman.
That's what he wants at 32 years old, is to be a loser for...
Yes. He's going
to
be this kid's babysitter.
Yeah.
Because they both speak Russian.
For somebody that's going to take his job.
Doesn't Levchinov speak fucking Russian?
I don't know that Levchinov speaks anything.
Belarusian is a different language. Actually, I think that's true, right?
I'm sure he speaks Russian as well. I'm pretty sure they learn both.
Well, it might be too complicated, so you might need a third guy. And hopefully the third guy is old and wants $5 million a year.
What's Viktor Tikhonov doing?
Right, give Viktor Tikhonov back here for 8 games.
Not his grandpappy.
I made the joke the other day, but honestly, if these fans love Ilya Mikheyev, they should go back, and they would have loved Denis Arkhipov. Great player. Should have stayed. Should have given him all the money.
White graphs.
Trash. So here's where it goes off the rails. Meaningless nonsense replies, but like why? He's mediocre at best. He has 33 points in 74 games and is 31 years old. He literally scored his 200th NHL point tonight at 31. He's not going to get better. This is the best he will likely ever be, and he's maybe a solid third liner on a cup contender. I just don't understand the overwhelming praise this sub seems to have for him. This friend of ours clearly got downvoted 25 times for this comment. And I don't know if I've seen a bigger number than that in
Oh, no, we've been downvoted bigger than that, Andrew.
Well, we're very good at this. That's not what this is about.
Yeah, that's your job.
I'm so good at it. The replies are crazy. He's fast, consistent, great on the PK, and has synergy with a lot of different players. So I don't know if he's hoping to use this, but if Mikheyev should send this off in his contract negotiation, just say, look at this. I have synergy with a lot of players. Did you know this?
You know what? That might work.
He's not a fossil at 31, LOL. It's a good balance of not being aged out while still having experience, which is something sorely needed on a roster where the average age is like 14. Then Jet X Life says, this sub be like, we need NHL level players for Bedard. And then don't re-sign anyone and trade every vet at the deadline for third round picks.
Who's saying that? Nobody's saying that.
No, they're making fun of the one. They're making fun of the one guy that. Again, you're all just trying to give me a stroke.
Yes. Yes.
All right. He is Streak writes, he is a very solid role player, is a solid PK1 player, and is excellent defensively and offensively at 5-on-5. Great example to the kids of a solid all-around player. A great example to the kids of a solid all-around player.
How's that working out for the kids?
He's
right
a
now?
Great example to the
he
kids.
He is he's below the team rate in Corsi, by the way.
He's a great example to the kids that if you skate really hard and barely put up any production, a bunch of weirdos will demand you get paid.
Mm-hmm. And the Hawks will do it.
On all Blue right. Sky. And the Hawks will probably do it.
This is my last coup de grace. I don't know whatever you call it. This is the best part.
There wasn't finale. This much uproar for Martin Havlat,
who is a god,
who's an actual NHL top six player.
God, he was majestic. Don't say no to Panda says, are you seriously? By the way, this guy, I should note, this person is a top 1% commenter, which you might as well just write kick me on your shirt everywhere you go. Are you seriously poo-pooing having a solid third liner on a cup contender, a guy who is also arguably the best penalty killer in the league? Do you think we don't need a guy when and if we want to contend for the cup? So I don't know if this guy... Maybe, you know, I don't want to be mean.
When are they contending for the cup?
If he's ASL,
years?
But there's not a lot of syntax going on for him here.
Yeah.
But he, I guess his suggestion here is that you need him when you're contending for the cup?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this meaningless nonsense guy who got downvoted, he replies, we won't be contending for a cup for a while. We won't be contending for a cup while he's still an effective player. And then this guy goes, remind me, 730 days. So he's literally setting a reminder for 2 full years from now to go back to this comment to tell this guy, look at the Blackhawks who are a cup contender with Ilya Mikheyev on them. That's what he's saying.
He is. So, yeah. He's basically putting money down on it.
Yes.
That the Hawks are going to be cup contenders with Mikheyev as the third line checking winger, penalty kill guru, just dominating
John Madden.
The NHL. Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm just going to keep pretending. I'm just going to start pretending that all of these commenters are different burners from Kyle Davidson.
Meaningless nonsense replies. You think we'll be truly contending for a cup by the end of the 27-28 season? Yeah, I'll see you then. And then the psycho guy replies, I would define cup contender as winning at least one or two playoff series. I think that is
Kyle
possible
Davidson
by
burner.
That season. I think that is possible by that season. Insane.
They have 70 points.
And then lastly, sorry to pick on you, AARM2000, but I saw that you are full of shit and you never watched the Cup Run Hawks in another thread, so stop posting like you know what you're talking about. He posted, that line is cooking.
Kyle Davidson's burner number two.
Yes.
That line is cooking. The Hawks have lost their last 5 games by a combined score of 36-4, and that line is cooking.
Cooking.
You know what's cooking? Is your brain. You're in the microwave. Get out. Get out of the microwave, you stupid idiot. What's wrong with you? Oh, my God. All right, that's enough. I'm done.
Well, then he went on to co-host his show on Chuggo with Jay Sawoski.
Holy crap, dude.
I'm just broken. I'm just broken. I don't know. I'm Orange Cassidy Slack. I don't know what this is. Ilya Mikheyev. Now I know that they replaced Martin Havlat with Marian Hossa, but when I said they had to re-sign Martin Havlat, who remind everyone was the best player on the team in 2009, that actually went to the playoffs. And won 2 rounds.
And played in conference final games he does not nor will ever remember.
And took a bullshit punch from Mike Camilleri. Fuck that guy.
And then scored the overtime winner.
Oh, God, what a game.
When I said the Hawks had to re-sign him, everyone told me to do one.
And you know what? And then they didn't. And then they went and signed Marianne Hossa, and you're like, bye, Marty.
Yeah, right. I'll see you later.
How is that the same team? I guess it wasn't.
Not even the same team. It's the same fan base.
Not me.
Now, of all these people who are commenting and needing Ilya Mikheyev in their lives a little longer are like 20 and they just don't remember? It's going to be fine.
Impossible, I guess, to know.
But I'm guessing all these people are over 35 years old.
I just remember at our age, or when we were that age, 20 years old, there was nobody on the Hawks that I liked when they were bad.
Yes.
I hated everybody.
Yep.
There was nobody that I had any sort of affinity to or strong connection. Absolutely not.
Maybe liked Steve Sullivan and Dean McCammon.
I was just going to say that, Matt. Steve Sullivan was probably the only one, but even he was not a guy that I was going to go to the mat for.
Right.
You know, they didn't win shit with him. So if they had better ideas,
and he never won shit anywhere else.
Right. Then, you know, so long. I'm not going to sit around and, you know, it's just crazy to think that people get attached to shitty players on shitty teams. It's crazy. I can't even fathom it. I can't.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
You're like De Niro, where him and Paulie come over to tell Henry that he needs to stay with Karen. I can't have it. I can't have it.
I can't have
his,
it.
His quote, Billy Ho, we can't have it.
And the Hawks were so bad that they traded Sullivan in the division to the Predators for 2 seconds that became Ryan Garlock and Michael Blunden. Congratulations.
But we were excited about those second round picks when they got
them.
Weren't
we though?
Yes.
Michael Blunden was going to be a thing.
Well, he was ranked high on the prospect list, but
he would have been
his name
two.
Is not even a hyperlink on Hockey Reference.
Michael Blunden is every Hawk prospect that hasn't arrived currently.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're going to get is Michael Blunden part 2 through 17.
Well, he was one of the guys that they were listing
Rob Klinkhammer.
Troy Brower.
He was right next to Brower and Bufflin and Bolin. It was the Killer Bees on the 300 list.
And Bickle.
He was included in that list.
Yep, and Bickle, yep.
Yep. It's bad. I don't know. Oh, man. People think these tier three assholes are going to become something. They're crazy. You're crazy.
And the only time that they ever do is when they've got cherry-picked zone starts against bums.
Well, because the Hawks are the bums,
because you've got like real players in the top six playing against other like.
Well, I mean that's what's so frustrating is everyone's so excited about tier three prospects. Like you don't have your tier one sorted out. You know nothing about the top six right now, for sure.
You maybe have one guy, and you might not know what position he plays.
I know Connor Bedard is in it. I don't know what position he plays in it, and that's it. And Frondell. But again, they don't know what position he is in it.
They don't know what they have in him yet.
We have no idea.
We're not sure if he's good
yet. And if neither is a center, then where the fuck are you?
Right, because there's no center to draft this time around. It's two wings and two defensemen, right?
Unless you want the garbage Malhotra son, who already projects as a third liner, and that's about
right.
It.
Right. Already he projects as his pappy.
Yes.
I don't know.
John, did you have any hashtag content from the mines here in this, or
are we ready for it? Or
I don't know that
Andrews...
we are, but we better do it.
I've got one thing here. It just posted tonight. Somebody posted feedback on off-season moves. So it's this guy that, you know, and one thing to note is that it does seem like the tide is turning a bit on the Reddit freaks, that they are starting to think that Kyle might not be unfireable and that he may actually be on the hot seat soon. So who knows? But his target, this guy says that he thinks Kyle should feel the pressure this off-season. And what he should do is target a top six left winger. Target A, trade for Matthew Knees. And his offer starts with a 2027 unprotected first and Nick Lardis. I don't think that's going to get it done.
But I don't think that's going to get it done. But okay, at least we're spitballing here.
Yes,
we're thinking.
and we're going after the right guys. And then his fallback plan is for Lafreniere. He doesn't have Nies's physicality, but he makes others better and is very competitive.
No, he doesn't.
Mm-hmm. And then, hey, but you know what? They're throwing out names that they don't know, so that's fine. Hey,
we're spitballing. We're working. We're working.
And then for the defense, they need a
target. Could you imagine acquiring another one overall pick? Oh, my gosh.
The defense, they need to target a top-line left-handed defenseman. Target A trade.
But they have Alex Vlasic. He won the world championships last year with Team USA.
Well, this tells me this guy isn't half brain dead. He says to trade for Bowen Byram to be your number one defenseman, and he's starting with
20... not number one, not at that side. Like, not at that size. Not after fucking Connor Bedard put him on his ass last night.
He wants to trade Louis Crevier for him, though. So you know what?
Yeah, fine.
Yes. I agree.
I'm on board with that.
Yes. And then sign Darren Radish to an insane contract.
No.
Yeah.
We've already done the Radish with a Y experiment.
You know what? But he's thinking. Yes. You know, at least he's out there. He's trying something.
Right.
He's not just saying wait till 2029. I'll give him that.
His trade picks are anything outside of this year's lottery, which I would disagree. Anything should be on the table.
Anything and everything.
He also says that they could trade Bertuzzi, Donato, Tavo. His three untouchables are, you could trade them, but I don't think anybody else is going to want them.
No.
Your three untouchables are Bedard, Frondelel, and Spencer Knight. I would say that.
That's probably that's right.
Fair. Maybe. I wouldn't say any of them are untouchable, though. And then you're close.
Frondelel untouchable already seems whatever.
There's too much upside to, again, it all depends on what it's for. Again, Wayne Gretzky got traded. No one's untouchable. Correct.
Close to untouchable, Nazar, Lovshinov, and for some reason he's got Oliver Moore as close to untouchable. I don't care. My main point is this comment here because this is going to get Andrew all fired up, I think.
Excellent.
This is from Dr. Cigarettes.
My guy.
MD. Again, a top 1% commenter. So when you see that, just...
Miles Burner number 3.
Yeah, turn around and run. So this guy says, people need to relax, LOL. Last season's Sharks team finished with 52 points. They've had a goal differential of minus 105. To put that in perspective, that's a full 18 to 20 points worse than this Hawks team will finish. And our goal differential currently sits at minus 65. Oh, wow, that's so much better.
Where are the Sharks in relation to the
Hang
Hawks?
A banner.
Yeah. The Sharks didn't make a bunch of flailing panic moves. They didn't blow up their prospect pool by making splashy trades. They didn't fire their coaching staff. Their biggest offseason moves were signing a few solid but totally unremarkable veteran defensemen to 1 to 2 year contracts. They improved by 32 to 34 points in a single season, driven by growth from their young core, mostly Celebrini and Graf. I'm not against big trade signings happening if there's good value to be had, but some of the stuff that people in this sub are clamoring for is just crazy. So
crazy.
You're impatient.
This is to Andrew's point. The Reddit freaks didn't want to hear about the Sharks, and now the Sharks are the team that they want to compare the Hawks to.
Favorably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're in better shape because we didn't sign older guys.
And because our young player played to his projections and beyond. So now you have if Connor Bedard puts up 130 points in a season, then yeah, everything's going to look a lot different. We did that show at the beginning of the year. If Connor Bedard was leading the league in scoring and Spencer Knight was in the top five of Vezina, the Hawks would be in a much different place. They should be.
When they both were...
Right,
they were in the conversation.
Yeah, the crux of the conversation here is after three seasons, we don't really buy Connor Bedard as a 110 point scorer.
Yeah. So that was it. I just wanted to make that Sharks reference for Andrew because I know he loves it when the freaks reference the Sharks,
who are worse than the Hawks, even though they're better in every single literal way.
Yeah, they had a minus 110 differential last year, so. The Hawks only have a minus 65. Great.
Yep.
So that means the Hawks are going to improve by 70 goals.
For reasons. So they can't bring in anyone who's good and is currently in the NHL. I think really I hope they're not conflating veteran with like a Bertuzzi. I'm talking about somebody who's younger and good. Bringing them into the lineup is bad. That's what I'm understanding.
Why would you want to trade for Matthew Knies?
Right.
Because that was what the guy was responding to. Why would you trade Matthew Knies? And the package that they offered, an unprotected 2027, which could be anything, and Nick Lardis. You don't want to, you wouldn't do that for a guy who's a proven NHL top six player.
Yeah.
What? Okay, fine.
Fine, good, whatever. All right. Let's stop. We have to stop.
Yes. Matt and Sam's sports mental well-being.
We can do a few minutes of playoff previews. I don't know if there's a series. It's all pretty locked in at this point. I don't know if there's something you're really looking for. I know lots of people are looking for the Penguins and Flyers. It should be fun.
I am not.
Yeah, we know your feelings on the subject. I don't know. There's something about Tampa Bay, Montreal annoys me. I'm looking forward to what Buffalo sounds like for game one. I think that'll be fun.
Yep.
I think the West is a procession for Colorado. I don't see it. Certainly anyone who comes out of the Pacific is getting labeled. And I'm looking forward to another first round exit for Minnesota and everyone bending over backwards to try and defend Bill Guerin for it. That's fine. Yeah,
and Nick Foligno, once again, not getting his stupid fucking moth ass out of the first round.
Right. I said Tampa, Colorado before the season, and I don't see much reason to change it.
Yep, just hoping to see Buffalo do some stuff. I think it'd be fun. That's all I got.
Yeah, I'm in for game one to hear what Buffalo sounds like. There you go.
That's all I can say. I mean, I will do a full preview on the newsletter, probably Thursday and Friday when I will get to it, and we will get the big show rolling for that.
And sadly, Gary Bettman did not hear your pleas, Sam. The Kings are in.
The Kings are in, but they won't be around long. I advise everyone to give Vegas a nice good look, because after this podcast has become. And talking this afternoon, is clear to me that the Hawks will trade for whatever's left of Mark Stone.
Absolutely. It's going to happen.
And Patrick Laine.
And he's going to score. He's going to play 50 games, maybe.
I bet you Alec Martinez will help facilitate that deal.
Right. Yeah.
They're going to talk about how Alec Martinez helped push it through.
Get him to waive his no trade to come to Chicago. He might not even actually have a no trade.
Efforting.
Yeah. Anyway,
no complete, no move, not even no trade.
Well, yeah. So Mylock Martinez, get him on the horn.
Yep. He's going to convince him to waive it so he can come to Chicago and play in this fine sports city where nobody gives a shit. You could do
it. He'll tell him, like, do this 1 year, get out from under it, and then you can go play for a real team again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you'll get traded at the deadline anyway. You only have to show up for 30 games before the deadline, play the 10 right before the deadline, and then you can go play for another winner. We'll probably go back to Vegas, honestly. All right. I don't have anything on my line, I don't believe. So the Cretans will be on the main feed tonight. Slack, did you have any?
Andrew's got a bunch.
Oh, good.
I think we're going to have to read it for him, though.
Yeah, and Andrew had... Head to
oh Andrew had to go take care of his dog in the store.
No, he had to go put the sheets over his house to protect it from the hail. Yeah.
Yeah, Andrew had to dip. So let's read from his menchos.
Oh, missed that message. I'm sorry, folks. I'm not a very good host tonight. I'm off my game.
Where did he
I can effort if you'd like.
I've got him here.
Okay.
Our guy Phil, Bill Stinkwater.
Oh, long time guy.
Should I gaslight my children and try to convince them there's no such thing as the Chicago Blackhawks?
Yes, absolutely.
Have you been listening?
I mean, he does. We know he does.
Actually, it's a tragedy that Slack had to dip, because this one is fantastic. It's totally in his wheelhouse, from Bobby Otter. What is Engin Deportrine's most meatball Habs take? And what is Engin Deportrine's most meatball Habs take that doesn't involve Kirby Doc?
I don't think they don't strike me as guys who have meatball Habs takes. They have
it has to go that way.
Their most meatball take is probably that the Canadians should have never have traded Jocelyn Thibeault.
Or Vinny Damfou should be in the Hall of Fame, except he might be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I think that they not only want their GM and coach to speak French, but also the extremely garbled, weird version of French that they quote-unquote speak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a good one, too. And...
Oh, you mean what the band speaks?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah. It's Vinny Damfou's in the Hall of Fame? I gotta look this up. Anyway, move on. He's not in the Hall of Fame, so that's their most meatball take. He's underrated and should be in the Hall of Fame.
All right. Chaos Theory would like to make up our hypothetical NHL all-brain-dead team consisting of Cran Enjoyers. Captain Chris Versteeg.
Captain Chris. Levchunov is on there.
Trevor Daly.
Bixel guy in Dallas. If I'm just going current players... Mason Marchman might have played himself off of it, but he would have been starting.
There's a space for Sam Bennett when he tries hard enough.
Yeah, it's true. This is an easy. Either Foligno would work.
Tyler Myers is on that team.
Tyler Myers would get a look. Ristolainen. I think is terrible and brain dead.
Colton Burpo.
you forgot our guy, Sam.
Yeah.
The one who can't stay on his feet.
I mean, help me here.
Bertitti's.
McCabe.
Jake McCabe. Oh, yeah. Jake McCabe. Yeah.
Can't stay on his feet.
Can't just do it.
Diving all over the place.
And then all-time team captain would be James Wisniewski.
I don't know. Versteeg is, I mean, Versteeg's got the pelts, but he was pretty fun. Like,
but he wasn't, I mean, he was brain dead, but he was brain dead in a way that allowed him to try shit.
He was brain dead because his balls were too big and there wasn't enough blood to right. go between the both of them.
But like, it led him to try like cool shit.
Where yeah, these he had a lot of are... delusions of grandeur. Yeah.
Right. These guys just are dumb.
Mm-hmm.
I've got it pulled up here. Corch's D partner off the street. Jesus Christ. John, you're forced to do a sports segment with Matt Abaticola. What do you say that gets you fired, and how fast does it happen after you go live?
See, this is another question for Andrew.
Yeah, this would have been perfect. Save this one for next week.
Yeah.
I just tell him God is dead and I within the first 5 minutes. And actually, if you just, the thing with Abaticola, if you just keep telling him he's wrong when he's wrong, he gets real flustered mm-hmm. and he can't, you know, he'll eventually swear at you. Get him fired.
Well, I mean, this one's for you. Mebler, Sam, said, Fell suggested the Hawks need to find their Zegras. So the Hawks are going for Lafreniere, Shane Wright, or Lucas Reichel.
Wait, didn't they already do? We did the Lucas Reichel thing.
Yes, we tried
Plenty
that.
Of teams have now. No, Shane Wright has been my way of needling Sam for a couple years now.
he's a Ponzi scheme. He doesn't exist. Let's see. Brian Yusudis. If you were a wrestler, what would your finisher be? When I had the 1 year I had the WWE game, my finisher was a cop killer, and I think it would still be. Who is your favorite Black Hawk that actually kind of sucked ass? I'll start with Sergei Krivokrasov. I mean, Versteeg's on that list.
Krivokrasov is my guy.
Krivokrasov is also your guy.
Mm-hmm.
Who kind of sucked ass. Keith Carney?
He was good.
He was good.
He made Team USA.
Yeah, no, that's not it.
Can the answer be Brent Seabrook?
What about Keith Brown? Oh, no, you hated Keith Brown.
I hated Keith Brown. That won't work.
Bob McGill?
Not like him at all either. Now we're getting into some names.
Yep.
Patrick Poulin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Christian Rutu.
Tomo Rutu.
Randy Cunnyworth.
Nylander, because he got me a free Greek dinner.
Yeah.
Alex.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I remember this now.
Mayday.
I thought you were talking about his pappy for a second.
No. On a scale of dype to hyped, how are we feeling about Chicago's current best team, the Fire FC? I am hyped.
Andrew was hyped too. I'll speak
Andrew
on his
hyped
behalf
too. I can tell you that Andrew is hyped. Short circuit. Who will Reddit spend the summer predicting a Rookie of the Year campaign for? Frondell, the Russian dude, or, most likely, some guy currently averaging 5 goals and 15 assists in the AHL?
All of the above.
All of the above.
Yes, they're going to split the all vote. Three of them are going to be in the Calder race.
Boisvert, after lighting it up in October.
And punching people in the face, yes.
Is there stuff on the main feed?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
The armored loincloth at Hawks Coroner. After last night's game, if it's not clear to everyone that Crevier stinks, rancid dick. Again,
dunk Andrew, dick.
They gotta have worms in their brains. Besides him and Burakovsky, who else do you hope we gets buried in Bolivia this summer?
The whole roster.
First of all, you fade into Bolivia. I don't actually care if Crevier's on the team for next year. Not if he is, I just want him on the third pairing. I think that'd be fine.
Yeah, he's a you know, sixth or seventh platoon guy.
Yeah,
and he can be fine at that.
I don't care if Mikheyev's on this team. I would like to find another home for Ryan Donato.
Get fucking Bertoilet. Get him out of my face. I hate his whole shit. Always have, always will.
That'd be selling high, right? He's got 2 years left in his deal.
You would think. You would hope.
So yeah, I agree with you there.
Is this a career high for him? Let's find out.
You're right. it is, isn't it? No, he had one big year with the Detroit that didn't go anywhere.
Oh, imagine that. Nope, career high in goals.
Yeah, so a real GM would sell high. But we don't have that here. Next.
Let me go back to the other window. Amy's favorite.
This guy's nuts.
Yar. Is the idea that Bedard can be a number one center in the NHL dead? It seems that the advanced numbers show he's getting his skull kicked in. That's the case. Should they then have Bedard at wing and Antoine Frondell at center for next season?
It is not dead, but they really need to.
They need to think about how it's constructed.
They need to decide what their plan is if it truly doesn't work. My problem with Frondell and Bedard on the same line is they both kind of need the puck. But if you think one of them can flourish without it, fine. I know Nazar and Bedard on a line doesn't work. That's not a thing.
I feel like if you're asking Antoine to play off the puck, you are not maximizing him. And I feel like if you're asking, but he'll still be responsible. And I feel like if you ask Bedard to play off the puck, then he will give in to some of his more worse floaty hot doggy instincts.
Yeah. I mean, I think this was Amy's favorite.
Yes.
I think Amy's favorite. What I want is for the Hawks to really start asking themselves that question. And if they think, okay, he's not a center, but we don't know that we have who would be his center on the team right now, how are we going to solve that? And I think those are questions that really have to be asked no less than 25 games in the next year, but no more than 40.
Or you need an absolute fucking dynamo of a wing. You need, like, doesn't exist, but you need someone in the mold of a Marian goddamn Hossa on that line.
I mean, Nyes would be your diet sugar-free version, right?
Yeah, not that game though. I don't think Nyes has a 50 goal 100 point season.
No. That's why he's the diet sugar-free version. But he's the guy who wins the puck back, clears space.
I haven't watched enough because there hasn't even been the Schadenfreude factor this year, and there won't be, like, it being forced upon us in the playoffs. Like, I haven't watched enough of him to know if he's, like, defensively responsible, if he's got the proverbial 200-foot game.
I think he is.
But
I worry that he might not be actually fast enough.
That's what I'm saying. Is he leaden, you know?
But there are ways for guys who aren't fast enough to play on a fast team. Hell, Mark Stone's made a career out of it. There are ways to make that work. Whether the Hawks are up to that challenge, I don't know.
All right. Longtime guy, Nick Flossy, says, Korch has seemed like he's been playing better this time around. He's the least underwater D on the team right now. Small sample caveat. But I feel like he's destined to be traded this offseason if Kyle finally decides to do something. Which D would you rather trade, Korch or Rinzel, or a different one? No one's untouchable. Like, I have always liked the upside of Korch, and I think he's been sandbagged from the get-go. But I can see where the deficiencies are. And, like, the only one who should actually be untouchable is maybe Bedard and Antoine Frondell-L, and that's it. I mean, I suppose Spencer Knight, because you don't have any other goaler that can even kind of take a 1 or a 1A workload.
I don't think it matters which one they trade, because I think they're going to nerf whichever one they keep.
And you're selling low on all of them.
You're selling low on all of them. I just don't think they have any idea what a player that Korch or Rinzel promised to be, how to develop one, what it's supposed to look like.
Or let alone Levshinov.
Or let alone, yeah, or him. I honestly don't want to see either one of them go, because I think they both have a chance to be really good. But I don't trust this organization to get them there.
And this is the thing that we've been
They're both playing the same game now, aren't they?
Which is timid and scared and not using their feet and trying to get rid of the puck as soon as possible.
Yeah. I mean,
and not jumping in.
At least Korch, under those, you know, parameters, can snap off a first pass. I don't even know if the Rinzel can do that.
Well, and something that we've been hammering for the past little while in the real show, and a mantra that I think that all of our kids should internalize and take with them, that until Kyle Davidson is fired and there is real infrastructure change, not just him, but, like, top to bottom as far as scouting and player development, like, always assume that whatever young kid that they get, especially on defensemen, is going to be at the absolute bottom end of what their projections call for. And even a forward, too. Like, because they're doing it now. They have been for 3 years with Bedard. So that's just something that we want all of you out there in Radio Land to be thinking about whenever any of these transactions take place, or even doing even fun roster baiting with your pals at the bar, which sounds as gay as it's probably intended. All right. John, did you have anything to add with regard
nope.
to any of that?
Nope.
All right. Again, longtime guy, one of our former checkmark having followers, Russell Perlman, over at the other place. How worried are you that Caleb Williams hung out with the Kardashians at Coachella?
Worried enough that I had to look into it, and it turned out that they've done that every year, apparently, as long as Caleb has had his NIL money, because they are sponsored by the same company.
He's an LA celebrity because of USC.
Correct.
So I don't love it, but that's what rich people do. Coachella sounds terrible to me.
I think he's more concerned about the Kardashians, and he brings up the history of male athletes associating with them is not good.
Yeah, my understanding is that they both are spokespeople for
Dr. Pepper.
Was it? No, not Dr. Pepper. I keep wanting to say Neutrogena, but I don't think that's it. But some like skincare company. And
well, let me put your mind at ease, Russ. If you're worried about Caleb's head getting a little in the clouds. Lacking a little focus, Ben will put that right the moment he walks into the
Correct.
Gym.
And he's also been working out with the boys
right.
all off season. So I think, yeah, it was a little disappointing to see him back
masturbating
in
with the homies.
With those people, but he's masturbating with his homies and then throwing 50-yard darts to him. But yeah, my understanding is that they are spokespeople for the same company, and that's why they were in that roped-off section of Coachella, and that's what I'm sticking to. And I don't want to hear anything else. I don't want to hear that they're hanging out. I don't want to hear that they're dating. I don't care.
Doesn't she date
Timmy
Lewis Hamilton?
Maybe.
Who the hell is he?
Who the hell is he? Yeah, and Timmy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no,
I think Kim's gallivanting around the globe with an F1 driver.
Brad Pitt.
Well, he's not. I mean, I think he's talking about the younger two that are more in Caleb's window.
Well, I don't even know who
they
are.
The ones that were at the backstage or in the same roped off section at Coachella.
Whose kids are those?
I don't know.
Those are Caitlyn. Those are the Jenners. That are still technically kind of Kardashians.
Anyway, did you check out Boys Noises or Nine Inch Noises set from Coachella?
I did not, but I'm looking forward to that record coming out on Friday.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. He had his wife sing a lot of it, which I thought was cool. I'm not the hugest How to Destroy Angels fan, but she's got a nice voice. My God. Can I read the Drain Butler?
Yeah, go for it.
Long time Cretan, first time crapper, John.
Okay, good luck with your first crap.
Thank you. As an I ain't paying for this shit Hawks observer, I rely on you telling me just how dog shit this rancid my mayonnaise semi pileup I miss viewing. Obviously falling dick first into confidence is Hawks' only hope. What is the most humorous way it could work out?
The most humorous way,
most
or
humorous
just a way.
Way
that it could work out.
No,
I guess
most,
we'll have to
most humorous.
Spitball this.
Okay. this is tricky.
The funniest way would be Kevin Korchinski being a Norris candidate from the get-go.
Right.
Point per game defenseman.
Right. Just a huge leap.
Mm-hmm.
But then they get to take credit for him for smacking him spent 2 years in Rockford.
Yeah, that's what it never happened.
You know, the funniest way is if he's a point per game and then he demands a trade.
Yeah.
He's like, I want out of here.
But how do they get to
all
confidence?
All the funny ways are ways it doesn't work out. Like if Bedard just demands a trade in the middle of next season and he's like, I don't want to be part of this, get me out of here. That would be hilarious. You know, like those things are funny to me. But I can't, I have a hard time envisioning a funny way it could all work out.
I mean, shooting 40% as a team.
Yeah. Something like that. Like shooting literally 25% as a team. Gas leak in the United Center away dressing room. I don't know. Something like that. Gambling scandal for at least four teams in the West.
Yep.
Something like that. All right. Let's end this. I'm tired. I'm sore and this is stupid. And I hate everything. Slack's already gone. But for Slack, for John, for Matt, I am Sam. Thank you so much for listening, downloading. Please rate, review, share, and subscribe. Until next week, Top Guys out.
Did you find yourself afraid to see?